The other way of protecting God is to say, he said, although God is the creator of this world and he created the beautiful world, but individuals, when they do some evil or wrong action, then God, being just, he intervenes and brings out justice. For evil actions he inflicts suffering, and for good actions he is rewarding with lollipops, all kinds of happiness in the world. In other words, by bringing in the law of karma, it is argued that it is law of karma which is responsible for suffering and evil, and not God. God is only a deity who stands above, and depending upon the actions of man, God meets out justice and rewards punishment or reward of some kind of happiness. In fact, these are the two basic arguments which have been put forward to protect God from the reproach that he is the creator of evil in this world. Actually, both the arguments are, in a sense, one linear argument. Man's action is also because of his freedom. So you might say that all actions which are done by man are out of freedom, and freedom is actually given by God, and freedom is a good thing. Therefore, God is not responsible for evil and suffering, only man is responsible for it. Now, against these two propositions, freedom of man and karma, an argument is possible. Deepika, I'm only revising last time, so you have not missed anything. The argument is, if God gave freedom to man and knew that this freedom can be misused, and it is being misused, why should God punish anybody? If God knows that freedom implies a misuse of it, he, knowing well, he produced freedom. Having done it, why should he punish anybody? Therefore, this argument is not satisfying, that it is man who is responsible for evil and suffering. Second argument is that if God knew that such a misuse is possible, why did he give this kind of freedom at all? If he was really good, knowing very well it can be misused, he should have created such a world in which freedom cannot be misused. That means he is not omnipotent. If he was omnipotent, he would have given freedom and yet created a condition in which it can't be misused. Why could he not create that kind of world if he was really omnipotent? Or if you say that it is not because God gave freedom, but human beings are right from the beginning ignorant and they are having karma and they are doing some kind of action, and then whatever evil exists in the world is as a result, automatic result of the actions. It's not as if God is giving a punishment or awards. Automatic result. In which case, the question is, when did the man start having the first action? And this is where the problem is tangled in such a way that you don't get a clear answer. One answer is that ignorance is anadi, it is beginningless. And therefore it is not as if it is created by him or created by somebody else, it is there already. But if you say that ignorance is permanent and beginningless, then you have given up the hypothesis that there is only one reality. And that reality is Satchidananda. Now you are saying that there are two realities. One is Satchidananda, the other is ignorance, and both are original. That means there is a basic dualism. But dualism is already dealt with in the earlier chapter where you have seen that if there are two which are existing, both exist. Therefore, existence must be common. Therefore, ultimate reality must be one. So, dualism has already been rejected in chapter number 9. So, we come back again to say there must be only one reality. If there is only one reality, and still if there is karma, then karma must have started only from that reality, from nowhere else. This is where the problem is. If there is only one reality and no other, if that reality is Satchidananda, then the world which is a manifestation of that reality must be full of Satchidananda. Why this contrary phenomena at all? Faced with this problem, sometimes it is argued, there is no God at all. All these problems arise if you admit God. But supposing there is no God at all, and you can simply say, this world is what it is, as you find it, this is how it is. But having found yourself in this world, you are capable of arriving at a new condition of existence, where there is a complete peace and harmony. That is the Buddhistic position. The Buddhistic position says there is no God at all. The world is what it is. But it is possible to arrive at a situation where you will have nirvana. And in nirvana you will find there is nothing. It is nihil. Now if that is the position you take, then the problem is not resolved. It can only be a kind of a balm being given to the human beings who are suffering, and you are told that you can come out of it. But the basic question as to why the world should be what it is, and if ultimately there is nothing, then how from nothing this kind of world arises? From nothing only nothing would have come about. Out of nothing, how this chaos? So that also is not a solution. This is all that we had said last time. Now we move forward. Now to deal with the problem more properly, we must understand the nature of suffering and nature of evil. We must keep this premise that we have started with, that reality is Satchidananda. There is no other reality than Satchidananda. And without abandoning that position, we have to resolve the problem of the rise of evil and suffering in this world. Because all other alternatives are found to be inadequate. They are not sustainable. So to find a solution to this problem, we must understand what is the nature of suffering and what is the nature of evil. Now there is a view which says that actually this world has no evil at all. It cuts the root of the problem altogether by saying there is no evil in this world at all. Suffering there may be, but evil, there is no such thing as evil. Therefore, you don't have the problem of reconciling evil with God.